Welcome to another edition of Studying the Scriptures. I'm your host, Dr. Todd Baker, director of Berit Hadashah Ministries in Dallas, Texas. Well, we continue our messianic study of Passover in our ongoing series entitled The Seven Feasts of Israel, taken from Leviticus 23. Really, you could rephrase this and call it the Messiah in the seven feasts of Israel. And we've been looking at how the life, ministry, and death of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, fulfills the Passover feast as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And so we want to continue to resume with this theme, this messianic theme, as woven throughout the seven feasts of Israel. When we look at them individually and collectively, we see that the Messiah, his portrait is painted through and through in these seven feasts. So let us continue in that vein. When the first Passover was instituted and celebrated in Egypt, one of the benefits that came with it was the spoiling of the Egyptians with the celebration of the Passover and the Exodus that followed. We read this in Exodus 12, 31 through 36. After the first Passover was celebrated, there was a payday. There was a payday for Israel who had been in slavery to the Egyptians for almost 400 years. And they did so by coercion and force without any payment. Well, God changed all that when He said this. Then He called for Moses and Aaron by night and says, "Rise, go out from among my people." This is Pharaoh now, heeding Moses and Aaron's command given to him by God to let my people go. And Pharaoh replies, and he says this, "And go and serve the Lord as you have said, and also take your flocks and your herds as you have said, and be gone and bless me also." And the Egyptians urged the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, "We shall all be dead." So the people took their dough before it was leavened, having their kneading bowls bound up in their clothes on their shoulders. Now the children of Israel had done according to the word of Moses, and they had asked from the Egyptians articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they granted them what they requested. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. And this accords with what is spoken in Proverbs, that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. So, we see here, with the death, with the final plague, the tenth plague, which brought the death of the firstborn of man and beast, Pharaoh, in great desperation, called Moses and Aaron and told them to quickly remove themselves from Egypt, and in their quick departure to get rid of these pesky Israelites. Under the leadership of Moses, the Egyptians were spoiled. That is, the Israelites took from the Egyptians gold, silver, and all types of clothing, and anything else they required for that matter. For we read here, and they spoiled the Egyptians. So with the Passover event observed and celebrated, not only did it bring Israel salvation, but it brought them riches and blessings in return. And of course, this fact of the Exodus fulfilled what God told Abraham over 400 years before. We read in Genesis 15, God said to Abram that they would be enslaved in Egypt for about 400 years. And then note in verse 14 of Genesis 15, and also the nation whom they serve, that would be Egypt, I will judge. Afterward, they shall come out with great possessions. And here, the word of the Lord is fulfilled in Exodus 12:36, what was prophesied over 400 years earlier to Avram by God, that the children of Israel would go into Egypt and be enslaved for 400 years, and then in the fourth generation they would come out with great possessions. And this was Israel's great payday for the four centuries of being in slavery to the nation of Egypt. And much of what the Israelites took from Egypt went to the building of the Mishkan, the tabernacle, where the Lord would meet with His people. And as this was true, materially speaking, with the Exodus in the Old Testament, so it is true with salvation found in Yeshua, God's final Lamb in the New Testament. For Jesus Himself spoiled principalities and powers in His triumph over them on the cross. And at His exodus through the resurrection, the believer, the Christian, partakes of these spoils, one through Jesus' death. And so we have here once again the Passover mirrored in what Jesus, the Lamb of God, did in the New Testament. Another requirement that God demanded from Israel is that when they celebrated the Passover, all of them had to be circumcised. All Jewish males had to be circumcised. We read this in Exodus 12:43-51. And not only that, a non-Israelite who is a stranger could not eat of the Passover. A foreigner was not to eat of the Passover. A hired servant was to not eat of the Passover. And an uncircumcised person was forbidden from eating the Passover. So whether they were Israelite, Gentile, foreigner, all must have had experienced the rite of circumcision to partake of the Passover. It was simple as that. Why? Well, remember that in Genesis 17, God gave circumcision to Avram and his descendants as a sign and a seal between God and the covenant He made with Abraham and his descendants, the Jewish people. So therefore, if a person was not circumcised, he was not in covenant relationship with the Lord. He did not belong to the people of God, and therefore was not entitled to the promises, privileges, and blessings of the Abrahamic covenant. One had to have been a person in covenant with the Lord, one who obeyed Him and believed in His word to be a participant in the Passover. In other words, you had to submit to the Lord's command of circumcision given in the covenant. And as it was true under the old covenant, so it is true now under the new covenant. The only way a person can partake in the saving benefits of Christ and belong to the new covenant community called the church is that the person must undergo spiritual rebirth through faith and repentance in Jesus Christ. And through that spiritual rebirth, undergo the true circumcision, a spiritual circumcision, which is of the heart performed by the power of the Holy Spirit, a circumcision now not of the flesh or after the letter of the law, but a spiritual circumcision performed by the baptism, infilling, and power of the Holy Spirit, the moment that person believes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And once you are in Christ, we are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens of the household of faith and part of the commonwealth of Israel, as Paul tells us in Exodus 2:12-19. And so to partake in the new covenant you have to be saved. You have to be born again through faith in Jesus Christ. The unbeliever, the willing, the willful and stubborn unbeliever need not apply, so to speak. Passover was also a time of holy convocation. That is, a sacred assembly was called so that the nation of Israel could celebrate the Passover with reverence and honor to the God who redeemed him. And because this was a holy convocation, according to Exodus 12:16, no work was to be done on the Passover day. And that's true with all the other feasts of Israel given in Leviticus 23. No manner of work was to be done. It was a special Shabbat, a special Sabbath, where all were to rest in the finished work of God's Passover lamb. And this, of course, speaks to the greater truth found in Christ under the new covenant. The believer in Christ now finds true Shabbat or rest in ceasing from his own works in trying to merit or earn God's favor, and instead he should rest in the finished work of Christ's cross, for Christ himself is God's Lamb. Then, once the Exodus was accomplished, the Passover lamb slain, the nation of Israel delivered from the house of Egyptian bondage, they praised the Lord. And they did so by singing what is called the Song of Moses in Exodus 15:1-19. Another fruit of salvation is the praise that is elicited from the mouth of those who have experienced redemption in the Lord. Praise. And this is exactly what we find after the Exodus, when the children of Israel were delivered by the hand of God at the Red Sea, and their enemies, Pharaoh and his armies, were drowned when the water fell on them after it had been previously parted for Moses and the children of Israel to safely pass through. You know, there is no recorded song in Scripture until we do come to the Song of Moses given in Exodus 15, which was sung, as I mentioned earlier, after the deliverance from Egypt by the power of the Passover lamb had occurred. It is the first song recorded in the Word of God for us. So, this should be a place where great significance is marked. And it is true, as it was then, so it is now for those who have been redeemed by Jesus Christ, the blood of the Lamb of God. We too have been delivered from greater bondage, the bondage of sin, Satan, and death. And we too sing a song similar to the Song of Moses. It is called the Song of the Lamb. The Song of Moses, in many respects, is reiterated and repeated again in Revelation 15:1-4. And here we find that the saints who come out of great tribulation and stand on the sea of glass sing the Song of Moses and the Lamb. That's what John, the writer of Revelation, says here. The Song of Moses and the Lamb. So John, a Jew who thoroughly was immersed in the Tanakh and familiar with the messianic prophecies, types, and shadows that pointed to his master, Yeshua the Messiah, knew that the Song of Moses, commemorating God's deliverance of Israel by the Passover lamb in Egypt, was a type and shadow pointing to its ultimate fulfillment found in God's final and forever Passover lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. So he clearly makes the connection between Passover and the redemptive death Jesus died for us on the cross, being the capstone and fulfillment of the Passover lamb. So there are many correlations between Passover and the Messiah, is there not? And so as we look at Passover in the Scriptures, there are some major references to Passover in Scripture. Kevin J. Connor, in his book, The Feast of Israel, says there are 8 major references to the Passover. And briefly, they are the original Passover, instituted at the Exodus of Israel as a nation from Egypt under Moses at the beginning of the journey to Canaan. And then we have the second Passover, after the children of Israel came out of Egypt while setting up the tabernacle of the Lord in the wilderness. And third, we have the Passover at the end of the wilderness journey under Joshua and the new generation as they entered into the promised land. So Passover encompasses all points of salvation and all the particulars of salvation. It covers redemption. It covers sanctification. And it continues on through glorification. When we also will enter into that heavenly Canaan. After walking through the wilderness of this world in rebellion against God, Christ's blood as our Passover lamb saves us, sustains us, and it will complete its work until the end. Just as it did for Israel under the Old Covenant, from Egypt to Canaan, so it will with us from the moment we believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ until we are arrived, until we are arrived at the heavenly Canaan and we see Yeshua, our commander, face to face. Fourth, the Passover in the second month was held under godly King Hezekiah. This is the fourth mention of Passover in the Scriptures. The fifth was the great Passover kept under godly King Josiah. The sixth was when the Passover was restored and kept under Ezra after the close of the 70 years of Babylonian captivity. And then the Passover is seen in the vision of Ezekiel's temple. And that's an interesting mention of Passover. I think it calls for going to that passage and seeing it for yourself. Ezekiel 45:21, and this temple that Ezekiel describes from Ezekiel 40-47 is a future temple. It is the millennial temple, the very temple Messiah Jesus will reign from over all the world. And the Passover is mentioned in this future messianic kingdom. Listen to this, Ezekiel 45:21. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, you shall observe the Passover. A feast of 7 days, unleavened bread shall be eaten. And on that day the prince shall prepare for himself and for all the people of the land a bull for a sin offering. So here we see that Passover, the feast of Passover, will be celebrated in the Messianic Kingdom. And Yeshua will lead to that celebration, and He will do it to show that He fulfills the Passover, and His redemption is a redemption that lasts for eternity, covering all times, whether it be now in the present church age or in the age to come during the millennial reign of Messiah Jesus. Beautiful. And then the last mention we have of Passover is found in the New Testament, where we are told that the true Passover lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, in His death, fulfills all the details of the Old Testament type. And Paul, consummating this observation, says in 1 Corinthians 5, 6-8, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. And lest we forget, the Lord Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper from Pesach. He instituted the Lord's Supper out of the celebration of Passover with His disciples. And when he took the bread, it was the matzah, the afikoman. And when he broke it, he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. And when he took the cup of wine in the Passover meal, which would have been the third cup in Passover, called the cup of redemption, it was that cup in which he said, this cup is my blood, the blood of the new covenant. And that brings us to the Passover meal itself as it is celebrated today. I want to conclude our study on Passover with a detailed explanation of how the Jewish Passover celebrated today points clearly to the Messiah. And this might take two radio programs to do this, but I think it's extremely important. Unfortunately, to be able to demonstrate this visually would really reinforce the truth of the life of Messiah Jesus being demonstrated through the Passover celebration that is done today in Jewish homes the world over. Well, when the Passover is celebrated today in an Orthodox Jewish home, this home has four sets of dishes, one for meat and another for dairy products. There are two special sets of dishes for Passover only. And this is based on a command in the Torah, Law of Moses, that says, you shall not boil a young goat in its mother's milk. And that is found in Exodus 23:19. So from this, the rabbis have interpreted such a command to mean dairy and meat products cannot be served together on the same plate. Well, this is not a correct interpretation because God was simply forbidding here in Exodus 23, He was forbidding the Israelites to imitate the cruel sacrifices of their pagan neighbors. When the Canaanites sacrificed a young goat who was pregnant, they would boil the young goat and its mother together. And the Lord was saying, when you kill a goat and eat it, do not kill and boil the kid with it. It was a matter of being humane even to the animals. Once the dishes for Passover are prepared on the eve of Passover, the search for leaven is done. This is called the Bedechat Chametz. Leaven, as you know, is a symbol for sin in the Bible. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 5:7-8, purge out the old leaven and become a new lump, for Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. In the Passover meal, the rabbis teach that the leaven represents the evil inclination of the human heart. In Hebrew, that is called the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination, that like leaven, causes us to be puffed up with pride and rebel against the will of God. Jewish families make a game out of the search for leaven. Father and mother hide crumbs throughout the house. Then the children go looking for it, and when they find it, scoop up the crumbs with a feather into a spoon called the chulpah. They then carry the crumbs to the fireplace to be thrown into the fire or into the kitchen oven to be burned. So we see in this gesture the children observe the judgment of sins. All the little crumbs of leaven are sins to be burned up so that they can be ready for Passover. Father demonstrates to the family by this gesture of burning the crumbs up God's judgment on sin. This is a reminder to us of what the future day of the Lord will be like when God's anger will burn like a fire in the oven against the ungodly and in effect burn away the leaven or sin from the earth. For behold, the day of the Lord is coming burning like an oven, Malachi 4:1 tells us. And in Hebrews 12:29 it states, our God is a consuming fire. Next, Father dons what is called a ketel, a white robe. And with that white robe, he puts on his head a mitre, a kind of hat that looks like a crown when he celebrates Passover. He wears this ketel and mitre. This kind of dress was the ordinary dress for the Levite, the Kohenim, the priests in the tabernacle and temple. The priest's hands were always in sacrificial blood so his garments could be pure. White denotes perfect and ongoing righteousness. The white garments of Passover remind us that white garments are worn also by redeemed sinners who have their sins cleansed by the sacrificial blood of the Lamb. Leviticus 17:11 says that it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. And it is the blood, according to the language of Isaiah 1:18, that tells us, though our sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be as wool. When you think about the white robe and mitre that Father, Jewish Father wears at Passover, this is a reminder of what the church will also wear when we marry the Lord Jesus Christ. It will be our wedding dress. For Revelation 19:7 and 8 says, "Blessed is he who comes to the marriage of the Lamb. The wife of Christ has made herself ready, and unto her was appointed fine linen, clean and white, which is the righteousness of the saints." The ketel, the white robe, and the mitre, the white crown, that Father wears when celebrating Passover in the Jewish home, also speak now and in the coming Messianic kingdom of the blood-bought church in her role as a royal nation and holy priesthood. Revelation 5:9 and 10 states, "For you were slain," this is the saints speaking to Jesus, their sacrificial lamb, "For you were slain and have redeemed us by God by your blood out of every tribe, kindred, tongue, people, and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." And so even today in the ongoing celebration of Pesach or the Passover meal, we see the Messiah and the reality of the redemption truths he brings. It's a beautiful way to witness to your Jewish friend by knowing these things and showing how the Passover meal and its detailed celebration points to Yeshua the Messiah, God's Lamb, sacrificed and slain for the redemption of sinners, to the Jew first and also the Gentile. Well, we'll pick up this theme in our next broadcast. Until then, Shalom Aleichem Yeshua HaMashiach. May the peace of Jesus the Messiah be with you.